You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with Richard. ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to moccasin Joe. Better party they gon' have. Out in the same giant swamps. That's what's doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill. And again, Tom is stuck in the mountains, out of range, and unable to communicate. So I just decided to take the show again. But we have some great guests. Unfortunately, we had a couple of cancellations just prior to the show because they realized it was the 4th of July. But that's okay. The fireworks and all the other things on there, I mean, we want everybody to have a good time. But we do have some guests on tonight, and I'm going to tell you there's a lot of action going on around the country. What I'd like to do first is just pay a tribute to our listeners out there and to our Bigfoot family, to all of our Bigfoot family and listeners. We wish you the very best 4th of July. On this 4th of July, I'm a veteran, so I have a chance to go down to one of the hospitals that our troops come back and forth in. And I just wanted to say a couple of words about both the men and women in our military services. They deserve every single accolade we can give them. People don't realize that they give their life for their country. I go down to Balboa Hospital in San Diego, and that's one of the main hospitals where they bring our soldiers back. Where they bring our soldiers back in. And they bring them back, and there's a lot of people missing arms and legs, and lots of people missing a lot of traumatic experiences. It's a very difficult thing. I meet them. I greet them. I thank them for the service to our country whenever I can. And I thought just today might be a nice little day to celebrate and be thankful for the freedom that we really do have in this country. And it's all the result of people like our men and women in our armed services. So anyway, that's what I'd like to say tonight. And to all of our armed service members out there, we wish you the very best. And we wish you the very best recovery for all of those of you who are wounded and ill. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I had to bring Chris back this week because he just got so much stuff that's going on and around his area there. Chris, are you there?
Yes.
Well, Chris, why don't you let's go through and kind of rehash everything out and what happened. Now, Chris came on here, 3 weeks ago, I think?
About 3 weeks. The first time, I think it was actually 4 weeks ago. I mean, 5 weeks ago.
About a month ago, yeah. You're right. And you had you and your friend had an encounter on a pipeline area there, in an area where you were staying in the house. And since then, you've been back and forth through that area, and it's why don't you tell us what's going on?
I mean, it's been pretty interesting, Marco. I mean, to say the least, I've been getting more and more things that Jim Dawson had told me to look for, and I've recently discovered a pond that was, I believe, it's like a spring that is a spring fed pond, because I mean it's out in the middle of the woods and it's pretty hot here. It's 102 degrees for like the last 3 days, and it's still the same water line around the bank, so it's not depleting the water any. It seems like it's got a constant supply, and there's no creeks or anything running to it. We found freshwater mussels, like freshwater clams, that they're nice sized clams, and those things are pretty tough to open up for any animal. You know, bobcat normally just tries to like crunch through the mussels, or coyotes, same thing if they could get to them, but a coyote won't stick his head underneath the water to try to get them. And the bobcat, if they get them, like I said, they try to like claw at them and bite at them. These things are like they're opened up like a human would do it, and they're all over the side of the pond. In one area, I found I want to say it was 6 turtles. By the amount of shells, I tried to get them all. I kept 2 of the shells that I could, you know, you could actually distinguish what they was. They're terrapins, like land turtles. And in the same area, I found one that was still alive, and its shell had been clawed pretty good. Like, it was deep all the way down to, like, his body up by his neck, and then it was down the back of his shell. And he was around where all these other turtles were dead. Well, and, I mean, the insides were missing. You know, it was just the shell there. One of them is still, like, kind of meaty on the inside of the shell, like it was recent. And I know for a fact that the way these shells were busted, that it wasn't a coyote or a bobcat. It wasn't anything like that. These, you know, turtle shells are pretty tough, and they're like, busted. It's like, it was almost like they were either hit together or something just grabbed it and crushed it. Like I said, I've got 2 of the shells that were damaged. I kept 2 of them. And then I've got the 1 live turtle. I kept him as a pet. And then I got another one now that was also found beside 2 dead turtles, beside 2 turtle shells. I found him the last time I went out in the woods during the daytime. So I've got 2 pet turtles now that I believe I rescued from Bigfoot.
Wow. Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about when you saw the creature, what did it look like? How big was it? Give us some sort of a description of what you saw.
Oh, that's no problem.
When you saw it.
The first encounter that we had, everybody, was at nighttime. So to say that I saw the creature would be misleading. What we actually saw was yellow eyes, yellowish orange eyes, at about 7.5-8 feet tall from what we were directed, because I'm about 6 foot tall in the distance. I'd say about 7.5-8 foot. And when we hit it with the flashlights, after it had jackaled us, like followed us, walked up beside us in the pipeline in the thicket where we couldn't see it with the flashlights that we had, after it got to the opening, when we actually hit it with the flashlights, it took off running from me and my buddy. And people, he's talking about the military. I am ex-military. I went to Iraq twice. I ain't never really been this afraid. You know, I've seen some stuff over there, like Humvees get blown up right in front of me. And to say that I was nervous, because I'm comfortable here in the States. I wasn't like a Bigfoot believer. I didn't watch the TV show or none of that stuff. I mean, I was one of the people that I'd hear about. I didn't discredit them. I didn't say they were lying, you know, but at the same time, I just wasn't really buying into it. And that's all changed now. I pretty much you could say I'm on unemployment right now from being out of the military, honorable discharge, looking for work around here. And pretty much all I've done during the week is get up just like I had a job and go out there to the woods and do more investigating, more looking around, trying to find new places I can go on Google Earth. We hit the eyes and it ran from us. And it ran probably about 30 meters, and I'd say less than 3 seconds. And it did it through the woods. It didn't just do it running like in an open area. It was knocking trees down, and it was ripping through vines. It stopped and turned back to look at us after it ran those 30 meters, and we hit it again with the flashlights. We saw the eye shine again, still about what we would consider the same amount of height up. And it took off running again. When it did this time, me and my buddy, because of the noise that it made running through the thicket, we decided that it was probably the best idea just to go back to the house. We didn't have no guns or anything like that. We just had our two dogs. My dog, 120-pound pitbull, who was trained to be quiet around wildlife for hunting purposes, was going off. Every hair on his body was standing off, like he was either scared or worried or something. He was in protect mode. And the other dog tried to bury her head in the dirt, like an ostrich. Like, I'm serious. Like, her nose was, like, stuck to the ground behind my homeboy's leg. She didn't even want to look up. She didn't want to see what it was. We went back to the house. 3 nights later, we had a vocalization in the yard. Like, it sounded like it was right outside of reach of the floodlight. That's what got us started to my Bigfoot. We started doing research. I went back out there a couple nights after that, and where it ran from us, I just wanted to look. We hadn't been out in the woods again since, and Mr. Dawson had asked me when he came down, he said, "What took you so long to go out there?" And I said, "Sir, I was scared." And he was like, "See, that's what's going to make me come down here, because 9 times out of 10, if somebody had an honest encounter, they were scared out of their pants." I said, "Well, to say I was scared would be to say the least. I was terrified, really, especially during the vocalization, because I was about to walk down there because I thought it was a person messing around my house." And I took a couple steps down the hill, and when it sounded off at me, it sounded like a blow-slash-grunt growl almost. It sounded like it's almost like a mix between a big buck deer and a boar hog. Like, it was like, but it was so loud, though, that it shocked me how loud it was, like the force behind it. Like, I froze. I couldn't move. Like, for about 10 minutes, I couldn't move. I couldn't have looked right. I couldn't have looked left. I was literally staring in the direction that noise came from, hoping to God whatever did it wasn't coming this way.
Right.
I don't really think they're aggressive, but at the same time, I think they were trying to let me know, because we had nobody live there in a while. Like, hey, we're out here, and we ain't going nowhere. So you might as well just hang it up. We'll stand our ground, basically, you know. And I try to be real playful when I'm out in the woods with them now. And I started giving them peanut butter and stuff. And where I hung some deer meat up at is where we had the visual encounter during the daytime. And me and my buddy was driving. It was the day we were moving out of the house, which was so odd, because we were kind of just driving down there with the windows down with the music playing. We were basically just celebrating the fact that, you know, out of all the negativity that everybody gets in their life, that the few people that was with me and, you know, got to go out there and actually have some kind of encounter vocalization or whatever, we were just basically just, like, you know, chilling out, saying thank you, basically, for this experience. We were just riding out there just to hang out. We weren't actually trying to do no investigation or nothing. And I thought I saw something at the corner of my eye. It looked reddish-brown, like the color of pine straw, moving very, very quickly through the wood line. And I freaked out, kind of, and I was like, whoa. I stopped, slowed down. And I remember Mr. Jim Dawson telling me that for a while, everything behind every tree is going to be Bigfoot. Every bush that wiggles in the wind is going to be Bigfoot. Until, you know, you look through the binoculars, you realize it's not. And I was thinking that I might have been tripping myself out. And Billy, my buddy Duncan, asked me, what'd you see? Billy's been with me from the jump. He was the guy that was me on the pipeline. Every encounter I've had, he's been there with me. He's like, what'd you see? And I told him, I was like, it looked reddish brown. It looked like it would have been, I don't know, 6 foot off the ground what I saw, because you have to understand how thick the woods are. I only caught, like, pieces of it as it was moving.
Sure.
And I was like, it could have been a big owl maybe, or maybe like a chicken hawk or something. And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, well, whatever. So we went down there. We hung the deer meat up at. We turned around. We was looking at the marsh that's down at the bottom of the hill. And we were getting ready to go back. And me and Billy were kind of in an argument about something else, not like actually arguing. We were like play fighting, arguing, you know, like,
sure.
I don't know how to explain it, but we were just like messing with each other. And
right.
About that time, you could tell when somebody notices something because of their facial expressions. And he yanked his head sideways and looked like past my face because he was in the passenger seat. I was looking at him, and I seen it to the left side of the vehicle. And he like grabbed the little .22. And he opened the door and went to get out. I was like, whoa, 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 what'd you see? He was like, I just saw the same thing you thought you saw, only that wasn't no owl. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, bet. And it wasn't that calm. It was more like, all right, let's go. So we jump out, and Duncan runs out in the woods with us, and he don't even have nothing. You know, he ain't got a flashlight. The sun's getting ready to go down. He's like, man, how would something as big as y'all say it's got to be able to move that fast through the woods and us not hear it? And I was like, I don't know, man. I was like, unless there's a trail back there that's so worn down that it wouldn't make no noise, you wouldn't have to worry about it. I swear to you. I swear to you, Mr. Marco, I swear to you. We got back there, and right where he thought he saw it, the woods, it was like, it was almost like a big four-wheeler trail that was tall. Like, there was no tracks, like tire tracks, nothing like that out there. It was just worn, slapped out. And we got impressions again. I have still yet to get a footprint that I can make a cast out of. Most everything I got is just impression prints. You know,
right.
That you can just see toes, and you can see the arch where the arch is, and you can see the hill. But other than that, it's nothing you can really make a mold out of. I do have tons of pictures, though, and videos. Again,
yeah.
I have a YouTube page. Yeah, I have a YouTube page. I know your system's been down, and I can't wait because I've been holding some out, you know, just waiting for you so it'd be exclusive to y'all's site. But I do
sure.
have a YouTube page now that people can go to, and they can hear two vocalizations that I have. I had one guy try to tell me that the first one I got was a barred owl, and I was like a hoot owl. And I was like, okay, man, I lived here all my life, but I don't know what a hoot owl sounds like. I was like, but hey, I'll tell you what, listen to this one. Gave him the link to the second video. I said, you tell me this is a hoot owl. The second one is way more aggressive, way more forceful. Like you can, even from the recording, you can tell. A guy did a sound spectrum photo of my of the vocalization, and he said it's definitely something awkward. He said it can't
yeah.
be a dog or a cat or anything like that. He said it doesn't hit hertz under 20, which is normally what he looks for Sasquatch type noises. He said, but it's definitely not an owl or a dog or something like that. So he said it's not conclusive, it's not going to prove anything, but it does say that it's not nothing that should be around there making noise.
Sure. I understand.
I mean, to me that
yep.
says enough. The YouTube page, my name under the YouTube page is the number 4, like you just put on the number pad and hit 4, and then THEPOUND for the pound.
Yeah, for the pound.
Yeah, and that every one of my videos is labeled Bigfoot Evidence Something. So, I mean, I've got a bunch
okay.
of them on there. Y'all can watch them. I'm going to put some more up there tonight. Check them out.
Okay.
Let me know what you think.
Sure.
We've continued to go out there. As we went out there, we saw the tall man trail that I'm talking about where it was so worn down. We ran into the woods more. We saw the glimpse of it this time. We all three saw it, and it was moving very quickly. And it was making noise this time because it went off the trail into the woods. And since then, we've been back out there on that side of the woods, and we actually found, like, a network of old, like, I guess, wagon trails or something like
yeah.
that from back in the day. It's nothing like nobody uses it now, but
right.
You can clearly tell that it used to be a road. And it's
sure.
several of them out there. And, I mean, these things could move so freely. Like, I've been all over the woods out here now. Like, you have no idea the things I've seen out. Like, just in a small area, we're it's not a big, big area where I'm at. Like, out there looking, I make it sound like I'm like out in the middle of the woods, but I'm right outside the city limits. And
wow.
I found, we found what we kind of think is like a den-looking thing. It's very, very cluttered and cluttered around the outside. It's definitely not natural limb fall around there because there's no big trees in the area. It's almost like a little open area, but it's like a humongous thicket. And inside of it, it looks like bedding area. I've got a new picture that I just took the last time I was out when I got the last turtle. It literally looks like this thing like pushed leaves up, made a pillow, and then laid down. Like you can see an impression of like a humongous body. Like it's right beside, it's not far from that pond that I was talking about. It's kind of like up on a little mound. So it's almost like he was just laying there chilling, like looking at the water. We found a dead raccoon. It looks like its head was crushed. It wasn't eaten, but it looks like the raccoon's head was crushed, and it was thrown right on the other side of this leaf pile that's beside this pond. And I've been out there, and I still have not ran into nobody, no human. And I'm talking about I stay out there. I don't accidentally bump into nobody on a four-wheeler or nothing, because like I said, most people think this place is off-limits, like you can't go back there. I got permission. Right. Hunting season starts in 2 weeks, and I told you on the phone, I got to try to hurry up, get as much evidence as I can, because I'm kind of like an addict to this stuff now. And
I know, but you don't want to get shot either.
that's definitely not going to happen. The vocalization that I'm trying to tell people about that sounded violent, that vocalization came from me driving down the road going to an area that I wanted to check out. And I had the windows down. The radio was on, but it wasn't real loud. And I thought I heard something. And I was like, Billy, you hear that? And he was like, what is that? So we turned the radio off, turned the air conditioner off, and I pulled over. And we looked at each other because immediately, the minute we pulled over, we heard it again. And then we realized that it wasn't just like every now and then noise. Whatever this was out there talking. It was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like it was just going off. And it did it for
right.
a good probably like 2 or 3 minutes. I've got, I moved, I cranked the car back up, and I got closer to where I thought it was coming from. I was actually sitting right out in front of somebody's house on this gravel road. But that's about as close as I could get to where the noise was coming from, and I was holding my phone out the window, turn the car off so you could get the last half of the video was real clear, real good sound, like you can definitely hear it. The first vocalization, I say because I can't whistle, I like woo at it. I go out there and I go, woo! Woo, like that. And a hoot owl normally makes the same sound every time. Like,
right.
like that,
yeah.
You know? A repetitive sound. It's normally the same, though. This thing was literally trying to match my pitch. Like, however I changed my voice was how it was.
Yeah, it's like a mimic, right?
Right. And I was getting closer and closer to the house. The video, the way it was recorded on, didn't do a real good job of telling it was moving and that the pitch changed. But I had four people on the porch that night that heard it, and they'll all swear to it, but definitely was not an owl. And I walked my dog, the same dog that I was talking about, tried to get at the creature, whatever. I walked him down there. This is the only other time he's been out the pipeline, because after that, after I learned that they kind of hold grudges against aggressive dogs, I quit letting Steel go outside at night. Like, I wouldn't even leave him outside at night. He had to go out and use the bathroom before the sun went down, and he had to stay in the house. Because I knew if he saw it, he would go. And I love my dog. I don't want anything bad happen to him. So I just chose I'd keep him in the house.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I walked him back out to the pipeline. It was during the daytime. It was probably about 4 o'clock, 4:30, something like that. And one of my girls' friends, Alicia, was there at the house waiting on her to get there. And she was sitting on the porch smoking a cigarette. And I walked out to the pipeline. I hadn't been out there 30 seconds. I told Steele, sit, chill. And he sat down and laid down. And the minute he laid down, it was like something let the alarm off in the woods. It sounded, the best way to describe it is it kind of sounded like it would have been the same creature that was making these other noises I'm talking about my second vocalization because of the force behind it. But at the same time,
right.
it was more high-pitched. Like the second one, it almost sounded like whatever it was upset. This one, it almost sounded like it was trying to let other things hear it. Like, you know how birds, when they go off, when they're trying to, like, warn off or when they say a predator's in the area, it's more of a high pitch, more of a fast,
right, a warning signal or something like that, yeah.
Right. I mean, I definitely got I definitely got that feeling. It was like, it sounded, the best way to describe it, people, is when the animal planet has those wild nature things and they show the baboons and the baboons are screaming,
sure.
That's what it sounded like. I mean, it sounded the best way to describe it.
It's like ape gruntles and screams, yeah.
I haven't stayed out of the woods, though.
The last encounter that we had, this is where I could tell you the facial features. I wanted to get through all the vocalizations. We was going out there. It was about 4:45 in the morning. I tried to get out in the woods about 5 o'clock in the morning because they say the most active times between 11 and 3. It's dark, dark, dark in the woods there. You can't see anything hardly without using the spotlight. And I said on the last show, there's houses around there. I'm trying to be respectful. I don't want nobody to try to run me off. If they do catch me out there or see me what I'm doing, I don't want them to think that, you know, I don't care about their home or whatever. That's why I don't go out there with a hunting rifle. I take a self-protection weapon only, which state of Arkansas tells me that is perfectly fine. We were driving down the road, and right before I got to the pipeline, right before where the pipeline is, I had never even noticed this before, and it hurt my feelings so bad when I seen it that I wanted to punch myself is how mad it made me. There was a nice, nice tall man trail right off the road, right before you get to the pipeline, where it crosses the road at. And I'd been wondering if you did it cross at the pipeline because there was that little gate there, and, I mean, it wouldn't have been no problem for it to step over it because I step over it.
Right.
But at the same time, I always wondered, is that where it crosses? Okay, well, now I know it probably doesn't. It probably crosses right there. Because when we drove past, and I'll never forget Tom telling me this when I talked to Tom on the phone.
Right.
He said, look behind you. He said, don't forget to look back. He said, because if you passed it because you didn't see it, it'll try to catch you, see what you're doing when you get away from it. Curious
right.
animals. So
yes.
I always look back now. Always. Ever since I got that one picture that I sent you that I thought I got some on the pipeline.
Yep.
That nice picture I got, ever since then, I
yeah.
have continued to look up and to look back, always. And
That's good.
I looked back in my rearview mirror, and again, I thought I saw something. And this time, though, I was close. I pushed the brakes. I stopped real easy. I stuck my head out the window, and I looked, and it moved its head back. And I got the biggest goosebumps I have ever had in my life. I looked at Billy, and I said, dude, I started kind of laughing. He's like, what? What? I said, man, you are not going to believe this, man. And he was like, what? I said, it is right there. It's right there, man, right on the road. And, I mean, it wasn't but, like, probably 25 feet from us. And then when I backed up, there was a tall man trail right there. And
wow.
I was like, get out of here. I done missed this every time I drove down this road. I done missed this. And we went out there. We went down the trail with the video cameras and stuff. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see it again, but I would definitely say it was the reddish-brown color that I saw when I thought
yep.
I saw something running through the woods. I would definitely tell you that it didn't have, like, the cone head-looking Jack Lynx Sasquatch head. It was
right.
more rounded.
Yeah.
It had like a flat face kind of. It didn't have like an angled face like a human does. The nose didn't
flat.
Come out
right.
It was kind of flat looking. The
yeah.
face was definitely lighter though than the rest of his body.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a lighter brown or like a tan wouldn't be a correct description, but almost like a lighter reddish brown.
Mm-hmm.
And
understand. Yeah.
We went down there, and I've seen pictures of the red oaks in California.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some big trees here in South Arkansas. But I have never in my life seen a tree like this down that big tall man trail. It's almost like it stops dead at this tree. This tree is bigger around than the bed of a full-size F-250 truck. Like, it's massive. I've got a picture of it up. I'm about to try to put it on my video. I'm sorry. Yeah, I got a picture of it that I'm about to put up. I'm trying to make a video right now, editing a video of all the pictures that I've got, so I can put that on YouTube as well. The tree, it's a picture of Billy up in the tree. And,
uh-huh.
like, he's, like, it's probably about 12 feet off the ground where he's at. And
right.
even where he's at, the branch, the two branches that split off right there, are so large that they are bigger than most of the big oak trees that we have in Arkansas. So
well,
I've never seen a tree that big in my life. And all around there, it's like smaller tall man trails. Like it's almost like they all lead to that tree. And
wow.
we've decided we're going to try to post up a little bit and watch that tree a little more because I mean that tree is so big that it could be up in like the very tip top of it and hide behind a branch no easy if it was 400 pounds.
Sure, I understand. Well, Chris, now you're going to keep in touch with us for the next couple of weeks, right? Until they stop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll do the show every Wednesday if you want me to.
Well, I know. I just I'll touch base with you every week just to see if you've had any more progress and stuff, and we'll have you back and let's see what's going on. You know, it's,
yeah,
you're doing pretty good. I'm really proud of you. You're doing a lot of good things. I appreciate you coming on again tonight to tell us, you know, since the last time there and filled us all in and what's going on.
The biggest thing is for me is everybody's been helpful. And the fact that I was a realist my whole life and I've never really bought into the mystery and the legend kind of stuff, the fact that I wholeheartedly believe, I mean, the people around here call me the Sasquatch Kid. Because, I call my Tahoe the SERV now, the Sasquatch Emergency Response Vehicle. And we got a little group. We're trying to get T-shirts and stuff made. We call ourselves AST because, of course, we're young. I'm only 27. We call it AST, the Arkansas Sasquatch Search Team. So I mean,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, the people that go out there with me take it about just as serious as I do because they've all like at least one time, everybody in the group has been with me when we had a major like experience, encounter, vocalization, found something really, really, really out of place in the woods.
Sure.
I've got a lot more videos I'm trying to edit the length on and stuff like that to put up on YouTube.
Sure.
So I mean, the stuff is going to keep coming, people. As long as I'm going out there and finding stuff, I'm going to keep putting it out there. I'm trying to show people Bigfoot is real. He's as real as I am.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and talking with us, Chris. As always, keep up your good work. You're really doing a good job, I think. And I'll keep in touch with you through the week. And, you know, when hunting season starts, of course, I don't expect you to be out there. I wouldn't. And crazy people go out there. So, but thanks a lot for coming on tonight and sharing with us.
Oh, no problem. Hey, I look forward to y'all giving me some kind of information on somebody else, letting me go check out somebody else's area that ain't worried about somebody. I'm probably
okay.
One of the most respectful young guys they'll ever meet.
Okay, my friend. And thank you for coming on. I'm going to mute you out. We got two more guests to go for the show, and if you want, you can listen in.
All right.
And thanks for coming on, Chris, and thanks for coming back again.
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, happy 4th of July, and thank you for your service too, my friend.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
Take care now.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris from Arkansas, and we're going to quickly go to a little commercial here, and then we're going to be right back, and we're going to be on with Dave.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And Dave from Four Corners. How you doing, Dave?
Good, Marco Bill. How's it going?
It's going great.
Yeah.
What'd you hear, Chris?
That was some story. Yeah, that was great. Wow.
Yeah.
He's really got everything going on out there.
Yeah, it started out, and he's of course he's he's just got out of the military, so he's got a lot of experience in a lot of different things and. But since he's had his encounter and experiences there, he's been doing all kinds of. We sent one of our guys from Arkansas there to help him out, and they went out together, and he taught him or showed him different things to look for. And by golly, I'm going to tell you, he's really doing a good job. He's
absolutely.
He's out there all the time. And
what a great participant.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you, my friend, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Had a nice
a lot of things going on over there.
Oh, yeah. The activity, like we were talking earlier, Marco Bill, it appears that some of these fires that we're having out here in the West are definitely stirring the Bigfoot activity around. You know, we're hearing reports in places that normally don't have that much activity, but I'm thinking some of this fires are definitely driving these creatures down into more, you know, human habitable areas.
I'm telling you, I had a call last night from Tennessee. I had another one from a different part of Arizona, and I had a, what was it? Was it Alabama? I think it was Alabama.
Hmm.
I mean, just in the last 3 days.
Wow.
And it's amazing. The weather, the heat and the weather just appears, it seems, are driving these creatures in closer to inhabited areas where people are.
Yeah,
to get food and water.
Right.
Well, why don't you tell us what's going on in your area there?
Okay. Well, actually, I think I had somewhat of an encounter. Because there was no visuals in it, I really couldn't determine 100% what I was dealing with. But I lightly determined what could be a possible Bigfoot encounter. Happened last week. I went to Pagosa Springs and was hanging out with some friends to just go out and soak in the hot springs, which are really wonderful there. You've got 23 pools just to your pleasure, you know, different temperatures.
Wow.
And yeah, it's great up there. And it's about 95 miles away from Farmington here. So it was a really great trip, easy trip. Well, I wanted to take some pictures of a waterfall. The snow melt is starting to thin down now up here, the runoff. So, but I still knew that there was some waterfalls that are still flowing, and I wanted to get some really nice pictures in the late evening, Tuesday evening. So I drove up. It was probably 15, 18 miles north of Pagosa toward Wolf Creek Pass. There's a place called Treasure Falls. And it has a nice parking lot, a little bathroom, everything. It's, you know, a good facility. And it used to be a great hiking trail to the falls, but with weather and everything else going on out there, just, you know, just land topography changing, the trail is just nasty about the first 200 yards. So I went ahead. I had a friend with me, and we went up the trail. And I think this trail is probably only about 3/4 mile long. It's not that far. But very steep. And we probably got about halfway. And the first thing, I was the only one in the parking lot. My vehicle, there was no other vehicles. There were no other people there. There was not even bicycles tied up or anything. So we were the only last people there in the late evening, which makes some incredible photos during that time. So we were going up the trail, and the first thing we started hearing minutes later was some calls, some cries. They sounded like human cries. They weren't the normal Bigfoot cries that we normally hear, the whoops or anything. It was just more like just a woo, like a something like that.
Huh.
But they were spaced out probably every 5 seconds. And it was just across that little canyon, and I was telling my friend, you know, there shouldn't be anybody up here right now. I mean, maybe somebody camping, but they don't have any vehicles here or anything. And the amazing thing is we started progressing on the trail, it seemed like these sounds were getting closer to us, and they were getting louder. And, you know, I was kind of trying to discount it because I was there just for pictures only and a little bit of hike. And I'm going, you know, this is very unusual. It doesn't sound like a bird of any sort, any mammal. It doesn't even sound like a bear or a mountain lion or anything. It's very human. And I was a little concerned, too, because I thought, well, maybe there's somebody crying out for help. And we did a little cry of ourselves, and we got a repeat right away. It's like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was the only one, though, that repeated. The rest didn't repeat. But these calls were not getting more frequent, but they were getting closer. The trees are very thick there. There's like aspen and fir and some pine and brush all mixed in together, so we couldn't see anything. But these, whatever it was, seemed to know we were on the trail and getting closer. And I'm telling you, Marco Bill, just even going 200, 300 yards in this area is monumental. You're at 8,100 feet and climbing up. You know, the altitude just slows you down. Whatever it was moving quickly, absolutely quickly.
Wow. I absolutely understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then I started feeling concerned. I'm normally not that scared of Bigfoot because, you know, we've had that idea that Bigfoot really wanted us. They could have thrashed us long ago in Paris, Texas, and on our other expeditions.
Sure.
But this did make me kind of concerned because here's something that's going through this terrain, this rugged, steep terrain, rapidly and making noises at us. So I told my friend, why don't we just stop here and see what happens, you know, and we started hearing the same sounds, but they weren't advancing. So obviously something knew that we were moving, and try not to keep visibility of it. I never could see it. I never could see anything in that tangle of alpine jungle. So
I said,
we're wasting time with this thing, and you know it's going to get dark by the time we come back. We won't be able to see this trail, and it'll become dangerous. Why don't we just go ahead and walk back, and I'll take some pictures from the parking lot. Just use my mega zoom, 300 millimeter. Well, it's not mega, but it's big enough. So we walk,
right.
and you know the sounds continued a little bit longer. It's probably about another two calls within a minute. But after we got closer to the vehicle, all the calls stopped. So it seemed obvious that whatever was in there didn't want us to progress any farther.
Right.
But they didn't sound like the tip. I was more curious about these sounds because they sounded very human, but they didn't sound like the typical Bigfoot calls that we normally hear, you know, on the internet or
right.
Or
a little kind of a different thing, yeah.
Yeah, just single cries is what they were. But yeah, I took my pictures and I waited for more sounds and. And you know what I should have done? I had my camera with me. I should have just put it on movie and got the audios like that. But I wasn't thinking because I was so intrigued with the sounds. So,
yeah, I know.
And I'm the one that always chews out. People say, well, why didn't you take your digital, you know, recorder or your camera, put it on audio or whatever? And so here I do the same
right.
thing.
So. Right.
But yeah.
Well, gosh.
Then I got my pictures, and yeah, they turned out really well, actually. Those
wow,
circumstances were quite unusual.
My gosh, and you've had some other stuff going on too. I know Brenda's doing an investigation on a couple things.
Yeah,
and we'll probably have her on next week to talk about that. But
right, I've heard a little bit of about that. I haven't talked to her too much lately. She's been so busy, but
yeah.
It's in that same general area that we checked out. I think back in March.
Yeah,
the baby Bigfoot tracks that we had we both had taken pictures of, and
right.
during that first encounter, we had. What it was an open area. You know, this is basically river bottom country in the far northwest of New Mexico. It's a semi-desert, about a mile high. And what you have is I think they call it riparian area with the basically
right.
Cottonwood trees all around the river. And then the desert is back in the background away from the river. But it's amazing that these animals, these creatures, animals, whatever they are, primates, they seem to thrive in our area fairly well. You would never think, you know, you'd look at it and say, what do they see other than just the river?
I know, I understand, yeah.
Yeah, you would think they'd be up in the forest about 50 miles north in the San Juan Mountains and places like that, which they are there too. But, there's activity going on in this certain property. Actually, there's probably many properties, but we're just investigating this certain one. Now, as far as I remember, Brenda was saying that one of these creatures looked inside that house of the same property. It looked inside the screen
wow.
door, and the man was really freaked out.
Upset.
Just, you
know, oh, yeah, I bet he was.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't a giant. It would look something like a teenager. And see, that
right.
kind of coincides with the with the footprints that we had found earlier this year. They were small, probably 7-8 inches. But we're wondering, if this is the same creature, are these things growing at a fantastic rate, maybe?
Right.
It's amazing where, you know, because it could be the same individual that we were checking out earlier this year. And if he's already a teenage size, like, wow, this is going to be another chapter in something amazing into the research.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, you know, every time, it's amazing, Dave, that through the years here, the last few years here, you know, we first started out and we had this picture of Bigfoot as being, 8-9 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, of course, we've found several different species of this thing and several different variations in body stature and height
mm-hmm.
and in, even in the footprints and in other features, you know, up all the way up to light body features to, you know, 5 feet to 6 feet, but real thin and, you know, real not the heavy-duty thing that everybody... that most of the encounters, you know, talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just amazing. And then, of course, the dog-faced one is one of the real weird ones. And then, of course, then there's the three-toed,
right.
You know, footprints and things. And not just in one area, several different areas.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So, and then more recently, you and Brenda talked about the horseshoe-looking, the horse, you know, hoof,
yeah,
the horse hoof-looking footprints.
Right, and that one is really something else, too. Brenda's son saw that creature here not too long ago. But it's leaving like these double horseshoe tracks, and that it's like what is going on here? what happened to the
what
humanoid?
What is it?
Where's the humanoid type shapes that we are seeing?
Yeah, well, then you start thinking about about the Greek anthology of all the different animal human type combinations and stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what we were thinking. I said, what is this, like a, experimental zoo or going on her property?
I know. Gosh. Dang, Dave, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
And, of course, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And, of course, I'll keep in touch with you.
Okay, great. Yeah.
And I'm sure you and Brenda will have some more. I'll check with you next week to see how they're doing on that other investigation.
Okay, sounds excellent.
Yeah, and I want you to take care and have a happy 4th of July.
Hey, you too, Marco Bill and everybody out there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Thank you, Dave, and take care.
You too.
Good night now.
Okay, good night.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave Ortiz from Four Corners in New Mexico. A great guy, a great great researchers in Arizona or in New Mexico there. Our next guest is Richard from New York. Richard, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine, Marco. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, by golly, Richard, we had you on, 3 weeks ago, I think, right?
Yeah, about then. It was about that long.
Yeah. So what's been going on?
Well, I haven't been seeing anything, so I went back to my original spot, Marco.
Yeah.
In the Pine Barren.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing footprints. And something that where I had my first sighting of the juvenile running across the trail about maybe 150 feet in front of me. That's still closed off on both sides. That whole trail is closed off. And in that same area, about a year and a half ago, I don't know, I talked to Tom about it. I call it Chinese speak. I heard two of them conversing. It was like that, back and forth. And at the time when I heard that, I expect to hear these great big deep bass, monster type, like big creatures things.
Right.
I think what you were just talking about, these things come in different sizes unless it was juveniles. I haven't really seen a big, robust, I've had about three sightings. I haven't seen anything big and wide and,
Yeah. There's some of them that are some of them that we've had encounter reports on that are more ape looking,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then there's others that are more human looking, and of course, then the dog face completely turns everything inside out.
Well, the first sighting I had there, it went across the trail. I had my 10-year-old granddaughter with me. And it wasn't big, and it was on all fours and quad. It wasn't a coyote. It wasn't a bear. Didn't have a tail. And it moved so quick across that trail. I heard it before I saw it, Marco, like crashing
mm-hmm.
through.
Yeah.
It was almost cheetah-like. You know what I'm saying? It was a blur.
Wow. My goodness.
But that trail is still closed off on both sides. Makes me wonder. And it was closed off. I was in Maine on vacation, and I talked to you guys from Maine, and I mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
And the next week I came back from Maine, the first day I went out, that trail was closed on both sides. It makes you wonder, don't it?
It sure does.
It's a natural, it's a preserve, and they have a foundation. It's not run by the government. It's an independent preserve. They have their own board of directors and stuff. Makes me wonder. How come They've had trails closed before, and they're open up in a week or two. They have controlled burns and stuff, and they have a brush hog that runs the trails and closes. But why would it be closed for trail repair for almost a year and a half?
I don't know. We had a couple instances in the last few months on a couple reservations to where the civilian and the Native American, there was kind of a rift between them because of this, because of the sightings, and
wow.
and because of some incidents that took place, and it caused a lot of negative, not so much on people searching for the creature, as it did between the general population and the reservation itself. it was amazing. And what they did, one of the things that they did is they went right out there and they did control burns in the areas that people were researching. Mm-hmm. And, right the next day.
Well, that's
and,
what
yeah, and the next day, and they were, of course, obviously, controlled burns are something that are a natural type of thing, but mm-hmm. this is all a result of a newspaper article and a bunch of other things that took place.
Well, I'll tell you
and
one
it's
thing.
Amazing. It's amazing the political interface and all the other things that took place. The tribal council had to tone down because they didn't want to get a bad reputation of anything. And
well, I don't know about you, but when people ask me what I'm doing out there, I don't very rarely tell anybody what I'm really doing.
Well, what happened here was there was some newspaper activity based on an encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it kind of, when we went out there, it kind of got out of hand. And, of course, when we came there, then everybody wanted to know what we were doing. And they gave an interview. And it's, once that got in the papers, it started all kinds of stuff. And, of course, then the people that were involved in it, didn't want to. I mean, they wanted us to be there, but because of the political pressure they were getting, we just stopped doing everything else because they're doing control burns, all kinds of crap.
Yeah, so
things like that can happen.
If it had ever came out, they would have people in there with curiosity seekers, and I don't know, maybe I'm putting more to it than there is, but you could literally, Marco, it's about 5,000 acres, the preserve.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, they have treed areas, but most of it is open areas with bushes about maybe up to my chest. And
wow.
In the summer. It's a very, very unique area. It's probably
mm-hmm.
been like that for 5,000 years. It's probably stayed the same. And nobody ever leaves the trail when they hike in there. Nobody.
Hmm.
Nobody. And I was there one time sitting in the parking lot, and there was a deer to my right, and the sun was setting, and I saw something up on the ridge, Marco, stand up. That's one time it was so big I couldn't believe it. It stood up, and it was too dark to get a picture. And I bet you it drove that deer right down to the parking lot. I wouldn't want to bet against it. Because that's the only time I've seen a deer in there, and I go in there almost. I see footprints, see hoof prints, but I never see deer. I never see any mammals in there. Never, ever.
Wow.
I see birds. And I know they're there.
Well, it's amazing.
I finally got.
So what's your plan, Richard?
I'm gonna keep hitting that area hoping I see something. I'm hoping I'm going to upset him so much by looking for the footprints. I think that's what I think they kind of know what you're doing, that you're on to them. They know you're not just the average hiker when you're stopping every few feet and snapping a possible footprint and looking around. And I'm looking, I'm gonna hopefully, it used to be I thought I'd be afraid if I saw one. Now I wish I did have one confront me on the trail with my camera.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, I'm past the part where I would be scared. I think I'd be more excited. I'm more worried about the little critters, the deer ticks and the mosquitoes and them.
And, I understand, you know, yeah.
I'll be doing that until fall comes. But I find what I think are footprints all the time. I bet you they run those trails up and down all night long.
Well, they may
They're
very well
take
do
the
that.
ETs. What?
I They're said they may the very easiest, well do that, yeah.
They're going to take the easiest way of moving when there's nobody there. They're not going to go crashing through the bushes if nobody's there.
Mm-hmm.
But there is foot track. You really have to be very – you have to know what you're looking for because there is foot traffic in there. You know, people do hike it during the day. They even have horses in there. I saw a mule in there and a wagon.
Oh, God.
That's the truth. I didn't know what I was looking at. It was a mule and a wagon. The lady was taking this big wheeled wagon. It was more of a cart, not four wheels, two wheels, and with a mule. It's a very unique place, Marco. And last year when I was in there, they had a helicopter flying over that area that's closed off, very low, like they were looking for something.
Wow.
You know, conspiracy theories are conspiracy theories. Most of the time, that's just what they are, it's just theories.
Right.
Who knows? Who knows? Like you said, with the centaur, you know, the half with the hoof prints, I feel that every legend has a basis. You know, trolls sleeping under bridges, giants, every legend has a basis. And these could be the start of a lot of legends if people didn't know how to explain it.
Yeah, well, we don't know. There's a lot of things we find out. Every day we go out, and every time we go out, we find something new.
It's kind of like
you got to keep an open mind.
It's kind of like being a DNA expert and a detective all at the same time when you go out.
Right.
You're looking for clues. You're looking for something. And these other people sometimes make fun of us like we're crazy.
Mm.
But you know what? It's a hell of a rush when you're out there. You know that?
Oh, of course. Oh,
it's
different
a hell of a rush.
When you have the actual,
and it's legal.
When you have the encounter, it's a completely different.
Oh, my gosh. I consider myself so lucky to have seen what I've seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up believing this my whole life, I think. And now that I think about it, there's been within 2 miles where I go, there's been a sighting on the BFRO website. You know, where they have the recent sightings.
Yeah.
And about 10 years ago, on the other side of the main highway there, within 4 miles of there, it was a place where I kind of lived when I was a kid.
Mm.
The guy had a sighting in the morning. So, you know, there has been other sightings in this area.
Sure. I want to thank you for coming on. We're getting
You're
late.
You're welcome, sir.
Thanks for coming on, Richard.
One thing before I go quick,
yeah.
You were talking about the vets. One of my father's cousin just died a month ago.
Yeah.
And he might have been one of the last survivors of the Bataan Death March.
Wow. Well, we're certainly going to pay him his respect. Do.
Thank you.
And all of our men and women in the services, we send out our respect and our praise for all the work that you do for us.
Well, thank you for your time, Marco.
Thank you, Richard.
You have. If I get anything, I'll send it to you over the email.
Okay, well, I'll keep in touch with you during the week, as always.
Okay, thank you.
Well, everybody, take care now.
Night.
Well, everybody, that ends another show, and I'd like to say thanks to all of our listeners out there. Happy 4th of July to everybody. And
keep on Bigfooting, and we'll see you next week. Tom will be back next week. Take care now. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the facts.